broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments
on Israel? Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
I had been sound asleep. A split second before something.
You may have seen the phenomenon. It's not exclusive to our neighbors.
When it comes to race, let's acknowledge that, of course, there's still tensions out there.
Slap the young lady on her buttocks.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch. On this program, we'll take you through the looking glass and beyond to find it. Coming up this hour, we've got some news here about John Lee Malvo. What's this guy? Lee Boyd Malvo.
Robert Malvo.
What's his name, Robert John? It's John.
It's Lee.
Yeah, Robert E. Lee.
You know, I'm going to start swinging on somebody here if I don't get the straight answer.
No, it's Lee Boyd Malvo.
Robert E. Lee. Lee Boyd Malvo, there's news on that line, little sack. And guess who's buying it? William Shatner. Anyway, we're just kidding around, Mr. Shatner. I'm sure that you know enough not to believe these psychopaths. But anyway, Lee Boyd Malvo, one of the D.C. snipers, is telling some tall tale about, you know, who else was involved. The most polluted beaches in the U.S., also ahead on the program tonight. And obese, just call them fat. If doctors just go straight ahead and they look at someone who comes into their office and says to them, "You're fat, Charlie," then that's going to get people to lose weight. Phil Hendry here, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and of course we're online at philhendryshow.com. I'd get over there and get a BSP, man, because starting next week we have our podcasts. Every show, our BSP, our Backstage Pass members will be able to access from iTunes. We will also have three times a week our archival podcast, where we will feature classic bits from the days of yore. Of your what?
Well, the days of yore, of long ago.
Of long ago. And that's on our website as well, all of our archival material. We have archived video. In fact, we're on video right now, live streaming video of our show. You can go to philhendryshow.com and watch that. We keep a five-day archive of that. Just a lot of stuff and more at philhendryshow.com. So doctors should stop mincing their words and tell the overweight that they are fat, according to the UK's public health minister. Anne Milton called on the National Health Service, NHS, to ban terms such as obese because they do not have the same emotional impact. The former nurse said larger people were less likely to bother to try to lose weight if they were told they were obese or overweight than if the doctor was blunt and said they were fat. But health experts argued against such plain speaking because that fear, because they do fear it could stigmatize overweight people.
What's that mean?
It means if you call them fat, then they become stigmatized, profiled. You know, then people think of you as fat. You're a fat ass, you know.
Yeah, but you're obese, the same thing.
Yeah, but obese doesn't sound as bad as fat. I don't know what it is. Stigmatized. It just means that you're branded. It means that...
Like a black.
Well, yeah, if you're stigmatized because you're black, that means that calling you black is a negative thing. Calling somebody fat means that they are not just overweight, they're a lazy slob and they eat a lot of donuts.
Yeah, but they are. I mean, you know...
Not always, bud. You know, not everybody that's fat is a lazy slob that eats donuts. Some people got a thyroid condition.
Oh, man, that thyroid condition. Everybody know that that's all made up.
Yeah, my aunt did that. I remember she said, because we'd say to her, you know, that you're fat and, you know, you're all messed up. And she'd be all, oh, well, I got a thyroid condition. And we never believed. We knew she lying.
Well, was she lying or not?
Well, she died, but I don't think, I mean, I don't know, you know, but.
She died from what?
Well, she died from fatness or whatever you call it.
Yeah, she died from fat.
Died from fat. What did she die from, bud?
She died from the fatness. I don't know.
She probably died of a heart attack or something, you think?
Well, yeah, but they said that she'd say, well, I have a thyroid, and I go, and I'd visit and I'd say, Charlene, you don't have a thyroid, you're fat, you eat too much. And she's all, so? So that proved it to me.
Oh, so she said so because she believed you, or she agreed with you?
I think so, yeah.
But what'd she die from?
I told you, from the fatness of it.
From the fatness of what, man?
I don't know, man. God, man, you want me to get a medical records?
But what does that mean? What did she die from? From the fatness of it.
No, she died from fat.
You don't die from fat, man. You die from the effects of being fat. Do you understand the difference?
No.
You could be fat. You know, it's like this. This is a very good lesson. This is a very good lesson. You know, we have a thing in America these days, all over the world, people are talking more and more about depression. You hear about that?
Yeah, I saw it on TV all the time.
Okay. That's like saying, what do you have? What's wrong with your stomach? I have upset stomachness.
What does that mean?
It means you're naming the ailment after the symptom. You're naming the ailment after the symptom. I have a headache. We have a tendency to do that. We don't name the ailment. We name the symptom. What do you got? I got a headache. Well, that's not what's wrong. You have a headache. But the headache is the result of something else. What is it? It could be neck tension. It could be high blood pressure. It could be a lot of things. Good, bad, indifferent. So when you say to somebody they have depression, well, that's the symptom, man. That's not the problem. What's the problem? The problem is I have a biochemical imbalance in my brain. The problem is I don't get enough sleep. The problem is this, the problem is that, okay? So when you say she died of fatness...
Well, no, but that's it. That's what killed her, the fatness of it.
No, man. That's the symptom. She's fat. Why is she fat? Maybe she's got a thyroid. She's a nervous eater. Or maybe it wasn't her fatness at all. Maybe it was a heart attack having to do with the fatness, but... You see, this is what I'm trying to tell you guys, but you guys are never going to get it. I just know that.
You're always talking about that, but I still understand.
Yeah, I mean, if you say that a man is fat and then he croaked, and a man said, well, how come he croaked? Well, take a look. I mean, that man, that's a lot of man laying there. And the reason why there's a lot of man laying there, on account of the fat, he fat, you know?
Yeah, that may be, man, but that still ain't why he died. Although I could be wrong. All right. Anyway, around a quarter of adults are obese, meaning they are so fat their health is at risk from heart attack, stroke, diabetes, and cancer. Experts warn that if nothing is done, more than half of the population will be obese by the year 2050, putting a huge strain on the NHS. And folks, we're not talking about America here. We're talking about Great Britain. We're talking about England. But this, we're well to take this advice because in Britain right now, they're looking at their people and they're saying, holy God, are you people fat or what? Mrs. May, that would be great, though, wouldn't it?
What?
The Prime Minister. Holy God, are you people fat? I'd love that. I would love it. I would love for any American politician to do that. He'd get his ass kicked. People would vote him out of office. They'd never want to talk to him again. I think it'd be great. Obama should do that. Like he doesn't need friends. Anyway, she said she was worried that too many in the NHS, that's the National Health Service, feared using the term when dealing with patients. Yet it could, she said, actually encourage personal responsibility. So what this person is saying, what this woman is saying, who is the public health minister for the UK, her name is Ann Milton, she's saying, let's quit fooling around and call it what it is. You're fat. Instead of, oh, well, you know, you're obese. And you've got a little bit of an ass on you, or whatever they say, you know. Hey, fatso.
Well, no, not fatso.
I would. And she's saying that if you talk direct like that, if you talk straight like that, people get the message, and they realize you're not screwing around. Oh, well, you know, you're obese. Well, that sounds it sounds extremely neutral, obese. It sounds, you could be very ambivalent when you hear the word obese. Is that really bad? I'm just obese. Hey, fatso. At the end of the day, you cannot do it for them, she said. People have to have information. Professor Lindsay Davies of the Faculty of Public Health said using the word fat might not be such a good idea. She added the doctors had originally started using the word obesity to encourage patients to think about the condition in a different way. Obesity is something that happens to people rather than something they are. Well, you are obese. The language you use all depends on the relationship you have with a patient. Well, it could very well be. If I were the doctor, though, I'd start calling people fat.
You would?
Yeah.
What if they stopped going to see you?
They wouldn't stop going to see me because I'd be a great doctor. All right.
Yeah, you think.
I would be. And I would also say I'm going to call it the way it is. Okay, Charlie? You're fat. Yes, Dr. Hendry? That's right. You're fat. And I don't know what's going to help you. You know, you can stop eating. You can. There's a lot of things, but you're fat. And I think that would help people. I really do. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Private browsing sessions are not as private as you think. Your private app, you know, your iPhone app, it could be spying on you. Oh, we got all kinds of really, really good news here tonight. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You're fat. Hey, you're fat.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What your phone app doesn't say, it's watching you. Okay, you got an iPhone? I got one. You got one, Robert?
I got one, but you don't, do you?
I'm not getting one until he stops spying on it.
Well, I don't know, but listen to this. Your smartphone applications are watching you much more closely than you like. Or than you might like. Well, I don't like it at all. What do you mean my smartphone applications are watching me? Lookout Incorporated, a mobile phone security firm, scanned nearly 300,000 free applications for Apple Incorporated's iPhone and phones built around Google Incorporated's Android software. Okay, that's a smartphone made by Google. It found that many of them secretly pull sensitive data off their users' phones and ship them off to third parties without notification. I don't see BlackBerry in here, so I guess BlackBerry's not doing that. Just the applications for iPhone and for the Android. That's a major concern that's been bubbling up in privacy and security circles. The data can also include full details about the user's contacts, their pictures, text messages, and internet and search histories. The third parties can include advertisers and companies that analyze data on users. The information is used by companies to target ads and learn more about their users. The danger, though, is that the data becomes vulnerable to hacking and use in identity theft if the third party isn't careful about securing the information. Lookout reported its findings this week in conjunction with the Black Hat Computer Security Conference in Las Vegas. Lookout found that nearly a quarter of the iPhone apps and almost half the Android apps contained software codes that contained those capabilities. The code had been written by third parties and inserted into the application by the developers, usually for a specific purpose, such as following the application to run ads. But the code winds up forcing the application to collect more data on users than even the developers may realize. This, according to Lookout executives. Android phones, by the way, are the smartphone by Google, yes, similar to the iPhone. Says one of the principals with Lookout, based in San Francisco, a man named John Herring, we found that not only users, but developers as well, don't know what's happening in their apps, even in their own apps, which is fascinating. Part of the problem is smartphones don't alert users to all the different types of data the applications running on them are collecting. iPhones only alert users when applications want to use their locations. So, for instance, as I've had many people ask me, Phil, are you really in Hemet, California? No, I'm not in Hemet, California. When I go to Twitter mostly will do that. If I'm using my iPhone to update Twitter, and it'll say, user is in Hemet. Now, where are you getting that I'm in Hemet? If you're as accurate with that as you are with collecting all the other data about me, like how often during the day I'm thinking dirty thoughts about, you know, a teacher I had when I was 11, you ain't collecting too much, I'll tell you that. Part of the problem is smartphones don't alert users to all the different types of data the applications are on. Okay, see. Anyway, and while Android phones offer robust warnings when applications are first installed, many people breeze through them for the gratification of using the app quickly. And we all know about that. Apple and Google didn't respond to requests for comment on Lookout's research. So they didn't respond. You know, you guys, they probably have to look at it, you know. Maybe they haven't looked at it, because I can't imagine not wanting to respond when it comes to information like that. You know, this is an interesting aspect, I think, to modern times. All you got to do, and I don't think it's really hard, all you got to do is look at what's going on as opposed to what you I don't know what you are paranoid of, or what you read about from George Orwell. You know, there were predictions at one time that, you know, Big Brother is watching you. Well, Big Brother ain't got nothing on Apple. Big Brother ain't got nothing on Android. In other words, Big Brother, the government, ain't got nothing on private industry. Now, we keep getting it backwards in this country, you know. We don't trust politicians, but we trust guys on TV. We don't trust the government, but we trust private companies. Who do you think's spying on your ass, you know?
Yeah, what you talking about? Why don't I want to trust TV?
Why would you trust TV, bud, and not trust the government?
Because everybody knows politician lie.
Oh, and TV anchors don't?
Well, I mean, a TV anchor, why? Why?
To get more people watching his stupid ass. That's why.
Yeah, but you're going to get people watching you if you lie?
Yes, yes, yeah. If you tell people what they want to hear, you're going to get more people watching you than telling them the truth, man. Always. Always. Like right now, I can hear people tuning out. You know why? Because I'm telling the truth. I'm not telling what they want to hear. I'm telling people that politicians are probably more trustworthy than guys on TV. I'm telling them that the government's probably more trustworthy than freaking Apple or BP. You got private companies spying on your ass, man. You buy an iPhone or you buy an Android or a BlackBerry, for all I know. And they're looking into your life. They're looking, oh, sure, I know they want to have data on demographics, and they want to find out, well, what's the right market for the product that I'm selling? You don't know what they're doing with that stuff.
Yeah, but you talk, okay, let's say you're right about that, okay?
No, let's not let's say. I am right about that.
Okay, but what do you mean about TV?
Hey, bud, what is it with you, man? You think television, they always tell you the truth?
Yeah, even I know that.
Well, no, I'm not saying I always tell the truth, but you're saying TV is you're saying that you'd rather listen to a politician than a TV. Everybody knows that's insane.
Is it really, huh? I don't know who you can believe more. I think it boils down to the individual. But I'm just telling you, I don't know where we ever got it in our fuzzy little heads. I mean, do people know how dumb they look when they say, I don't trust Obama, but I, and with all due respect to Glenn, you know, I don't trust Obama, but I trust Glenn Beck. Why? Why, man? Why would you trust Beck over Obama? You know?
Well, but Glenn Beck is saying stuff that people
like to hear. Absolutely. You got it. That people like to hear. Of course he's going to win, but is it the truth? Is it the truth? A politician, if he's honest, has to tell people the truth, and they ain't going to want to hear it. They don't want to hear anything other than really good stuff. So what we are, you know, the world is what it is, not necessarily what we thought it would become. What we thought it would become, what we thought was on the way, and some of the prognosticators and some of the seers sort of got it. You ever remember a movie called Thunderball? Did you ever see, not Thunderball, Rollerball. Did you ever see Rollerball?
I saw Thunderball on a kind of Sean Connery and everything.
No. Rollerball.
Uh-uh. What's that?
Rollerball was a movie back in the 70s. And it forecast a time when corporations were everything. Of course, it got it kind of weird. But Rollerball was a sport like roller derby, only it was extremely violent and it used motorcycles as well as guys on skates. And some of these guys had like rocket skates. And the ball that they were using was this big, heavy metal ball that you would skate around, passing the ball between people. You used motorcycles to mow cats down. And each team represented a industry, like Houston, the energy city. And James Caan was in this movie, right? You know, the guy from Godfather?
Which one was he? Was he the one with his cheeks all puffed out?
No, that was Marlon Brando. James Caan was Sonny, the guy that got machine gun.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
The guy that got machine gun on a bridge.
Yes, at the toll booth on the causeway. Remember? They shot Sonny on the causeway?
Yeah.
Well, that's James Caan. And he was in the Rollerball, and he played the main character. And his team was the Energy City Houston, the energy city. That was his team. And all these other different, and the Japanese team was fantastic. They all had all these karate moves and stuff. Rollerball. And that kind of predicted a time when it was really about corporation and corporate interest and not so much about government running everything. Anyway, the most polluted beaches in the U.S., speaking of corporations, plus a singing LaRouche supporter interrupts a speech, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. I didn't say anything that I wanted to say.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we have a little bit of breaking news here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, for all of your radio humor needs. philhenryshow.com, beginning next week, our podcast. God, I hope we're right. I've been saying that.
You guys got a meeting tomorrow, too.
We do. We have a meeting tomorrow. We have a website meeting tomorrow. And I've been just, you know, just very, you know, casually, as free as the wind. Oh, yeah, yeah, next week the podcast. God, I hope and pray we're ready to do the podcast next week. I'm pretty sure we are. Of our show, our current show. And then I'm going to be producing myself. I'm going to be producing the archival podcasts. So, but we do have a meeting tomorrow and we'll be fine. All right. Let's see. We have a little bit of breaking news here on American Idol. Kara DioGuardi is out. She's another American Idol judge who is now out. Now, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, maybe you didn't know, she bowed out of the American Idol jam session. Yep, that's right. Ellen DeGeneres, she's gone. She said that, you know, I let them know a couple of months ago. And to be fair, Ellen is very funny. She's very talented. She wasn't any good on the show. She just wasn't any good on the show. And I think a lot of this, you know, I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming the people that produced that show for not understanding what made their show successful in the first place. Nonetheless, Kara DioGuardi is now out. Sources connected with the American Idol show say that Kara DioGuardi has judged her last contestant on American Idol because she's been fired. TMZ says the show will be going back to a three-judge format and assuming all deals are finalized. Here is the panel. Randy Jackson, Jennifer Lopez, and Steven Tyler. TMZ says the only way Kara could get a reprieve is if J-Lo, if her deal falls apart, but apparently that deal is done, according to TMZ. Ellen DeGeneres announced earlier Thursday she was leaving the show just after one season. Filling Simon Cowell's seat on American Idol was already a tough task. Now another chair is there for the taking. Two more. Ellen DeGeneres, who became a full-time judge on the show during its ninth season, is bowing out. Ellen claims that a couple of months ago, she said, quote, I let Fox, the American Idol producers, know that this didn't feel right, feel like the right fit for me. I told them I wouldn't leave them in a bind and that I would hold off on doing anything until they were able to figure out where they wanted to take the panel next. It wasn't a difficult decision to make, but my work schedule became more than I bargained for.
That's such bull crap.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Why?
She said I told them 2 months ago. They probably told her she stinks and get out.
Well, all right, so what, they're lying?
No, I mean, they're not lying. They probably set it up so it looks cool.
I think they told her she stinks, and they're going to fire her, probably 2 months ago, but then they realize they're stuck, you know.
Well, wait a minute. Then how does she know about that?
Well, about what?
What do you mean they were going to fire her 2 months ago, but then they realized they were stuck? How does she know about that?
She found out about it.
Oh, you guys are talking out of your ass.
What do you mean? She probably found out about it, and then she's saying that.
You're out of your mind, man. Fox would have come out with a statement saying that Ellen is not being invited back. She's the one that's doing the talking here in this statement. In the same statement, Idol creator and executive producer Simon Fuller says, I loved Ellen's passion for the artists and her nurturing skills, but you're right, she does suck, and we decided to... No, she doesn't say that.
Yeah, I told you.
No, he doesn't say that. I'm making it up. He said, I loved Ellen's passion for the artists and her nurturing skills. She brought honesty and optimism to our judging panel, and I will miss her greatly, Simon Fuller said, but thank God we've got... No, he didn't say that. Thank God we have fat ass. I mean,
Yeah, call Jennifer Lopez fat ass. Yeah, right, man. They don't do that. Are you kidding me?
They're lucky they got Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez is lucky she got on it. I think Jennifer Lopez is very talented. I shouldn't say anything. I don't want to say anything. But I'm thinking that, you know, if she's got the time, man, what, she ain't doing much else, huh? Peter Rice, the Fox Entertainment chairman, says, "We love Ellen and understand and support her decision to bow out of Idol. We were fortunate to receive the humor, the energy, and love for talent that she brought to the show. It's very nice. A longtime fan of Idol, DeGeneres signed on to replace Paula Abdul after Abdul tweeted about her departure in August of 2009. I'm going to have a day job and a night job, DeGeneres said at the time. This is exciting for me." In January, Cowell announced he was leaving to concentrate on bringing the UK hit The X Factor to the United States. So they're going to have Steven Tyler. Now, one of the problems that we've talked about this, the reason why Simon Cowell was great was because he was honest, because you could tell he really cared about the people on that show. He cared about there being talent. And the great thing about him that I like is that these kids that want to get into entertainment and nobody tells them the truth, and everybody says to them, you know, "Oh, yes, follow your dream. The best thing you do with a kid like that is what Kyle would do. He would say, "You stink. Get out of here. Go start your life doing what you're really good at doing." "Well, I don't know, Simon. What do you think? You could be a doctor. Maybe you're an astronaut. I don't know what the hell you do well, but Jack, one of them ain't singing." Now, more people should have that kind of honesty in their lives.
Yeah, but you're going to have people committing suicide and stuff.
Well, they're not going to commit suicide. Well, people ought to be honest with them and everything.
Look, bud, it's better that you tell someone honestly, you know, "I know you want to be a superstar, and I know you want to have the life that you see all these people living, but you stink, you can't sing, you can't dance, you're ugly, you smell, go away." And if they commit suicide, brother, they got bigger problems than whether they're going to be in show business or not. Now, that's what Simon Cowell brought to the show, an honesty. And he was also very honest and told people that they were really good. You know, I remember those two guys, people, good Lord, I was just thinking of Siskel and Ebert. And then I remember that guy, Roger, what's the guy's name? Robert Ebert?
It's Robert Ebert.
Yeah, Robert Ebert.
Robert Ebert.
His face looks like it.
That cat's face is jacked up. Serious.
Yeah, man, you're talking about that kid and that Dream Deceiver on a pre-show. Roger Ebert's face is all jacked up.
Well, back when he had a normal face and Gene Siskel was alive.
Yeah, back when everything was good in the world.
Right. That show was great to watch because you could tell those two guys really liked movies and they really wanted the movies they were reviewing to be good, you know?
Yeah, a lot of guys just want to be a smartass.
That's exactly right, Robert. These guys that review movies, or no matter what it is they're doing, everybody wants to make their name because they're so smart-ass, they're so cute, they put things down really funny. "Wow, this film that I saw this weekend, a real bore." And you get the sense that they're not really interested in talking about movies, they're just interested in talking about them. But those two guys, Siskel and Ebert, when they would do that show, I could tell, man, they really like movies. They really want to talk about the movies. And when the movies stink, they feel really bad that the movie stinks. And you can tell they're disappointed. Well, the same thing with Simon Cowell and that show. Now, what do you think you're going to have here? First of all, I'm not blaming Ellen DeGeneres, but she's going to get on that show, American Idol, crack a few jokes. She's funny. But at the end of the day, it stinks. That Randy Jackson cat, you know, he is whatever. Jennifer Lopez, I don't know. And I said Steven Tyler, I think, is going to be good.
Yeah, see, I don't feature that, man. Steven Tyler, even though I like the way he sang that one, those songs that he does for Aerosmith, I don't know, man.
Well, who is that guy again?
Steven Tyler.
I don't know.
Aerosmith, Run DMC.
Yeah, they did Walk This Way.
No, that sucked. I don't know who he is.
Steven Tyler might be good. He's honest, but you know what? There's not the credibility of having Simon Cowell sitting there with that serious-ass producer look on his face. Yeah, I don't know. He just looks like someone's... He looks like your boss. And to me, that's where it's at. All right, our number on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com. We got a few more things we want to do here before we split. We'll tell you a little bit about some of the stuff that we got coming up on the website, because I was telling the guys, and I mentioned a little bit of it, during our pre-show, we do a uncensored version of, we don't really do an uncensored version of the show, but we have an hour-long pre-show that we do on our website on video before we get into the show, and it is uncensored. And I was talking about a lot of the stuff that we are dealing with in terms of the website. And one of them is that we're going to be doing a podcast. That means basically we're not doing a podcast. What we're doing is we're making the show, the daily show, available for download to our subscribers by way of iTunes. Okay. In addition to that, we're going to have three podcasts a week of archival material. And that will be available to everybody, regardless of whether or not you have a backstage pass. So that's where we're going to start. And then we're going to pick up speed and get some of some stuff, our video stuff, out on YouTube. But that's where we wanted to start in terms of the podcast. But stick around. It all starts on Monday. We'll be here tomorrow. I'll give you a little more information because you guys pointed out we're going to have a meeting tomorrow on the website. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back in just a few.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here. All right, the most polluted beaches in the United States. Always leaving you with a real good feeling, huh?
That's great, man. Thanks.
Well, you got to know. You should know. I'm sorry. And this is according to, well, let me read to you. Fancy a nice refreshing dip in a cool lake or a beautiful beach this scorching summer? Well, hold that thought. Before you take a dip, you might want to check out the contamination ranking. On a state-by-state level, Louisiana, Rhode Island, and Illinois beaches showed the highest number of pollution violations in 2009. State-by-state, Louisiana, Rhode Island, and Illinois, 2009. Well, when did the, 2009, that was before the oil leak. Great Lakes area beaches had the highest number of contamination incidents, while beaches in the southeast part, I don't know, of the Delmarva Peninsula in Mid-Atlantic tested the cleanest. Read on for the 10 beaches with the highest percentage of pollution. Number one, or this is number 10, so I guess this is, we're going in reverse order. This says Poche County Beach, Orange County, California. Where the hell are you people getting these beaches, man? Because I'm telling you, I've never heard of this place. Maybe surfers know it. It's around San Clemente. Total samples taken 78, monitoring frequency 5 times per week, percentage of samples that exceeded pollution standards 63%. Ranked 11 during last year's survey, this northernmost of San Clemente's beaches moved into the top tier of the nation's polluted beaches by failing pollution standards 63% of the time. Poche Beach, P-O-C-H-E, has been ranked by environmental groups over the years as one of California's most polluted beaches. I never heard of it. Never heard of it. And I've been going to beaches here my whole life. I bet you it's near that San Onofre. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably all kind of radiation and everything.
Probably got one-eyed fish down there, man. All right, so Poche Beach. Then we go to number 9. And this is called, this is in Lake County, Indiana, Jersey Park Beach. They monitor it 5 times a week, 63%. So it's like tied with this Poche Beach, with a ranking that moves it up the pollution scale this year from 10th to 9th. This Lake Michigan swimming area exceeded the maximum acceptable levels of human and animal bacteria in its waters 63% of the time. Oh, God. Yet it's not the most polluted beach in the area. See what similarly named beaches came in on top or bottom. Bud, next time you print this stuff out, man, I can't read this.
Yeah, well, it came in. It was yellow or something.
Well, it's this light gray, and I can't read this. Singing Bridge Beach in Arana County, Michigan, was ranked 8th most filthiest beach, 64%. Of the time, its samples exceeded pollution standards. The Saginaw Bay Beach in Aranac County, Michigan, has been closed for several days already during the 2010 summer season due to high levels of E. coli contamination discovered in its waters. Weekly testing in 2009 showed that 64% of the water samples here exceeded pollution standards. Good Lord. And here is a beach called Jackson Park Beach near 63rd Street. It's the 63rd Street Beach in Cook County. I guess that's Chicago. The Chicago Beach on Lake Michigan is home to a beautiful and historic bathing pavilion that draws beachgoers looking for refreshment from the summertime heat. But they might get more than they bargained for. The beach was tested five times weekly in 2009, and it's crawling with bacteria.
God, man.
That's right. Instead of calling somebody obese, I should call them fat. Well, in this one, I'm going to use the Phil Hendry method, which is, you know the beach you like to go to in Chicago? Yeah, it's crawling with filth. Crawling. E. coli. Maybe even leprosy. Yeah, that's right, leprosy. Thought about that?
Is that the one that makes your face, your nose fall off?
Yes. It makes your nose fall off. You know what, man? I'm going to have to play a song here at the end of the show. You want to know why? Because my throat is choking up on me here.
Yeah, well, that's only because you don't know how to read either.
No, I know how to read, bud. You don't know how to print stuff off, man. I can't see half of this. St. Clair Memorial Beach is number six. Number five is Cockle Cove Creek in Barnstable County, Massachusetts. I guess they got some kind of creeping crud going there. And number four is Kings at Stacy Brook, Essex County, Massachusetts. Number three is in Macomb County, Michigan. There's another Michigan, St. Clair. Number two is Avalon Beach, north of the GP Pier. They say this is L.A. This is Catalina Island. That's number two. And the number one filthiest beach in America is this Jerk Park Beach in Lake County, Indiana. I don't know what the hell that is, man. Jerk Park Beach.
Here's a song I pick out for it.
Oh, this is perfect. This is for the contaminated beaches. Don't fear it, baby. Don't fear the lifeguard.
All our times have come.
Let's take a dip.
We're just kidding, you know, folks.
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly.
Stop it with your drink.
Headache.
Phil Hendry.